Bible to Acts chapter 1, but we're going to talk about winning at the Super Bowl life, because it's the Super Bowl today. Today's the Super Bowl. Okay. Daytona Day. You know, the world has been getting slower. We need them to speed up the revolution, you know. Okay. Anyhow, this evening, the sports world will watch the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers played Super Bowl 54 already. Wow. And I will make no predictions, but I know who I'd like to see win. Well, just for today, how many Chiefs fans we got here? All right, how many 49er fans do we have here? Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Here's a good question, man. How many Jesus fans do we have here this morning? At ACA? There you go. Praise God. I knew that would get you. Well, today, let's compare the playing of the Super Bowl and all of the fans that will be watching the Super Bowl game to the Christian life. All right. Now, there's a great Super Bowl being played right now, even as I speak. King Jesus and his team are on one side of the playing field, and Satan and all his demons are on the other side of the playing field. You know, and as I thought about the Super Bowl and winning it, I thought about how the Christian life is compared to the sports. Yeah, the sports world, both as players and as fans. We have a lot in common with the world of sports. The Bible even pictures the Christian life as a boxing match, a race, and a wrestling match. Even talks about baseball. It's the first sport. It's the very first sport that is mentioned in the Bible. In the big inning. But in the beginning was the Word on first. And the Word was with God on second. And the Word was God on third. And see, the Word encompasses all. All positions were covered. God is everywhere at all the time. Right. Now, how can we win at the Super Bowl of life? Well, first thing, I've listed a couple here. First thing would be to tell everybody whose team we're on. So you're there in Acts chapter 1. This is verse 8. This is the Amplified. Now, Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he says, you will receive power, dunamis, brother, and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to tell people about me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. And Jesus made good on his promise to send the Holy Spirit, to give the power and the ability to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Now, like he says, you will be my witnesses. That is Jesus' command to the disciples and to us, because we are disciples, to tell others about him, regardless of the consequences. You've been there? Mm-hmm. I have. So identify with him. Now, if you can turn to Romans chapter 1, we're going to look to verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Boy, that says a lot right there, doesn't it? Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, and righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. How are we to live? How? Yeah, that's a lot better. Amen. See, Jesus promised that he would not leave us nor forsake us, but would be with us always, always, even to the end of the ages. That's in Matthew 28, by the way. He fulfilled this promise in the form of the Holy Spirit who dwells within believers. We are believers. We are what? Gospel preachers, heart on fire, freedom singing, testifiers. That's us. We are believers. And we're not ashamed to say that, are we? No. And a true fan is not ashamed to stand up and be counted for their team. And thank you, Tyler. A fan is not hesitant to say what team they are on, pulling for. Yes, even if it is the Browns or the Capitals. Yeah. It takes a lot of guts, a lot of guts, especially when you live in Steeler and Penguin country. But he's not ashamed of his teams. That speaks a lot. And as for tonight, I really don't know who's going to win that big game. But I guarantee you that the Chiefs fans, they're going to let everybody know when Patrick Mahomes throws a touchdown pass. And the 49ers fans, they're going to let everyone know when Jimmy Garoppolo does the same thing. Yeah. And also, it's going to come down, who kicks a field goal? Fans are going to let them know. And when it comes to penalties, it just all depends. You know, either you're going to love the ref or you're going to hate the ref. You know? And poor guys, they don't have a chance. You know, we've even seen where fans will fight someone over their team if they say something wrong. I'd say, just turn the news on. You'll watch it. It is easy to tell a true fan, okay, and who they are pulling for. All you have to look at is their shirts, their coats, their hats, their socks. Every piece of apparel that they wear have their logo on. Their team's logo is on them, even on their underwear. Okay. Steelers fans, that's all I got to say. You know, even Michael Jordan, he's the greatest basketball player ever. You know, it is said that he wore his North Carolina Tar Heels shorts, his Jordan shorts, underneath his Chicago Bulls outfit. For him, once a Tar Heel, always a Tar Heel. That's for you, Charles. Remember when you listened to that over there in Italy. Yeah, they're there on the ground. How many Pitt basketball fans do we have here today? Come on. Well, hey, he's not ashamed of saying that's his team. That speaks a lot. Speaks a lot. You know, the last few years haven't been good, have they, brother? But does it keep you from watching them? Does it keep a true fan from going to the game? Does it keep the true fan from wearing his hat, his jacket, or his shirt? No. That's right. If those fans can tell everyone whose side they're on, let's go out and tell the world whose team we're on. We are on God's team. Won't be ashamed of that. When Satan starts fighting against you, though, just sick the king on him. Let Jesus take care of him. Come against him in the name of Jesus. See, Satan's no match for the captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. For it was fitting for him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Captain Jesus, for both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. For which reason, he is not ashamed to call them brother. He's not ashamed to call you his brother. That speaks a lot. He's not ashamed of you. He is the captain of our team because he earned it through his sufferings that he endured for us. He's the team leader. He provides guidance, stability, encouragement, and he has compassion for us. And he gives us unlimited grace. Church, Jesus has already scored the most amazing victory in the history of mankind. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. If Captain Jesus has already scored the winning touchdown at the cross, then let's tell everyone the good news. Satan couldn't keep him down. And all the demons in hell couldn't hold him down. So let's tell everybody whose side we're on. We're on the winning side. And that the victory's already been won. Okay, secondly, we need to display a strong support for the team. Some of the Super Bowl fans will spend thousands of dollars to purchase a ticket. Tickets are selling from $5,000 to $10,000. This is game day. You should see what the prices are now. Ridiculous. And they will also spend thousands of dollars to fly or to drive down to Hard Rock Stadium down there in Miami Gardens, Florida, to watch one game that will consist of four 15-minute quarters, all for the grand total of only 1 hour of football. Now, halftime's going to go a little bit longer. Regulation says anywhere from 12 to 15 minutes. Well, this is the Super Bowl. They always seem to stretch it. And then with all the commercials, we're going to spend close to, 3-4 hours watching a game that actually takes 1 hour? Hey, I didn't say that. But there's no sacrifice too great when their team is playing in the Super Bowl. They'll pay. Some people even remortgage their house. They go on them home equity loans to go to the game. Oh, yeah. We have the greatest team in the world. And it's called the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We call it Team Jesus. He's our captain. No sacrifice is too great for him. He gave his all for us. As a member of his team, we have an obligation to support the Lord's work with our time, with our talents, and our treasures. We are only stewards over every good thing that we have. See, God has allowed us to borrow them while we're here on this earth. Because when you came in the earth, you had nothing. And when you're going out, you ain't taking none of it with you. Your finances, your possessions, and your time, they all belong to God. Be a wise steward over them. And without God, we can do nothing. John chapter 15, verse 5. I remember Jesus speaking here. Says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Think about that for a minute. Nothing that really means something. And when it's for him, it means a lot. We are so limited in our abilities to accomplish anything for him without him. He keeps the sun coming up. He even gives us air pure enough to breathe. He provides us with nourishment and with water. He gives us strength enough to go to work so that we can earn a living to pay our bills. Every good gift that we have came from God, and all he asks is a 10% return on the first fruits. 10%. We get to use 90%. We give God 10%. And if you look what he does with 10% compared to what we can do with 90%, I'm just telling you, folks. Because the more you give to him, the more you'll get, especially when you give him with the right attitude and the right heart motive. And when you are willing and obedient to his word to do just that, what's his word tell us? His word tells us that he, God Almighty, will rebuke the devourer for our sake. He will rebuke the devourer. A devourer is one who comes in, and back then, they talked about their crops. That was those different insects, the locusts. Now, they could come in and wipe out everything. Devourer is Satan, and he's going to hold him at bay and not let him destroy your crop. He can't rob your finances. That's what tithing does for you. By the way, that's Malachi 3:11, if you want to check me up on that. Make sure that I'm just not making this all up. I'm not looking for your money. Get that straight. What I'm looking for you is for you to get a blessing. You will be blessed. You will be blessed. And there's never been a football team or a football coach as good as God is. Therefore, let's give back to God as a way of saying thank you. Saying thank you. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for making me whole. Thank you for giving me your greatest salvation, so rich and free through your Son, Jesus Christ. If you've been going through something, commercial break, and have been playing, and been praying, and you've been trusting that he's heard you. And oh yes, he heard you. That's where you got to have the confidence. He's heard you. Because in Psalm 91, verses 15 and 16, you shall call upon me, the Lord says, and I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and honor you. With long life, I will satisfy you. Selah. First John 5:15. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. The little if puts it right back on us, though, doesn't it? In John chapter 15, verse 7, if you abide in me, this is what Jesus said, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Didn't say maybe, it didn't say might. It said it shall be done. Those that dwell in this secret place, right? That's where you want to be. That's where you want to be. And I scribbled this, did it every which way, and it just really wasn't. And I gotta be obedient. You know, a lot of times we start seeking and we're looking for that healing. We're seeking. We're so concentrated on that healing. We look. We're looking at that healing. We're so focused on that healing. Yeah, there's that healing we need. But you know where all our focus should be and what we should be seeking? We should be seeking the healer. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's what we need to do. Seek him. Everything else will come into place. Yes. Quit focusing so much on the healing. You've given it to him. Now focus your purpose on him. Don't pursue the blessings. Pursue the blesser. Okay, back on track. We need to use more of our time, our talents, and our treasures for God than any fan uses his resources for the Super Bowl. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Here we go, brother. Thank you. Tell me the Holy Ghost don't connect. Thanks. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, it says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. The word cheerful in the Greek is hilaros. Hilaros. That is where we get our English word hilarious. God loves a hilarious giver who's excited about laying up treasures in heaven where no man can steal them and no moth can destroy them. And this is not just limited to tithing, folks, but is accomplished by all aspects of obedience to God. But could you imagine, though, when the deacons come and they're standing up front here, they're waiting to collect the tithes and the offerings, and someone in service starts getting up excitedly and starts laughing uncontrollably? I thought you'd never get to this part of the service. I can't wait to write that, drop my offering in there. On Friday, I got paid. I wrote my check then. I've been so excited. Glory to God, praise his name, and put that in that bucket. That's exactly what that verse means. That's what that verse means. God loves a hilarious giver. Okay. This is titled Tickets for the Super Bowl. Okay. This is a fan. Okay. There's a man and his new wife. They make a pact to go to every Super Bowl. After 43 years, the wife passes away. But the man continues their tradition and goes to the next Super Bowl. A diehard fan sitting in the same row sees the empty seat next to the man and asks, why is this seat empty? Come on, man, it's a Super Bowl. And the man replies, well, it was my wife's seat, but she passed away. And the man says, sorry to hear that, dude. Then he asks, why didn't you invite someone else to come along? How about somebody from the family? And a man responds, I did. But nobody would come with me. The man says, what? Man, that's tough. Your wife dies and nobody will even come with you to the Super Bowl? What could they have been doing that was much better? And the man says, well, her funeral is today. Now, that may be a little extreme, but a real fan is going to support their team. Come on. Okay. Thirdly, work hard for the success of your team. Have you ever noticed that sports fans are tireless when it comes to their teams? They will go on the road with their team so that they can be at every game. And it's been said, Steeler fans travel well. They will travel through rain, through sleet, through snow to show up at the big game. Now, it may not have been a big game, but I'm telling you what, a couple games I went to with Leanne, it was pouring down rain, and we're going out there, and it's cold, and it's miserable. And she's saying, we're going, Dad. I said, really? Okay. But we had to park on the other side of the city and walk across the bridges. And we got on the other side of the bridges. You know what? They got these little guys in these bicycles that they pedal. And you can get in the back or just like the Chinese do. I said, hey, Lee, how about we do one of them? She said, oh, yeah. Well, we did. We traveled in a cold rain. It was miserable. But we enjoyed the game. Even when the guy in front of us had no shirt on, no nothing, he kept getting up and down screaming. And finally, Leanne told him to sit down. I went, oh, okay. Okay, but now we also have, what, booster clubs. And professionals, they have, what, public relations people. They do a lot of things. But, you know, you look at booster clubs. You know, they're organized to promote the success of the local hometown teams. Right, Dean? Okay. Yeah, I've been there too, brother. Well, they sell raffle tickets. They sell cookie dough. Candy bars. And hoagies. You know, they take orders for them at the game. And I, brother, you know, they even sell frozen pizzas. But can I tell you something? Ain't nothing like the real thing, brother. Go to the pizzeria, you want real pizza. That's a commercial break. The Super Bowl of life, hallelujah. Yeah, and they even have little kids, and they go door to door. I mean, they're at my door all the time. You know, and what they're looking for is for you to purchase something so that they can get new uniforms, you know. Back in my day, we did the same thing. Way back in my day. Yeah, I did it. And I was really darn good at it. And if you sold so much, you know, back then, you actually could go in and you could get a free glove or a free bat. You had your choice. They were wooden bats, by the way, bro. Right at Coach? Coach Horzempa? Yeah. Wooden bats. But yeah, so, you know, it was to show support. And that's how we supported the teams. And you as individuals do the same thing. You know, and even when Teresa and I, you know, we go to Jack's games. Everyone, and now we have to get a schedule because, so Crystal doesn't have to remind us to call. We have our schedule. We have a schedule. Now we go, but it's free admission. How awesome is that? But we do support them. And they're fundraisers. But we go to the concession stand. Very limited what I can get there, but not for Teresa. So we do support them. And can I tell you something? We travel well with them too. And Teresa can tell you at every one of those different spots that we go to, what each and every concession stand has, which one has the best nachos, which one has the best, you know, funnel cake, which one has the best hot dogs. My girl knows. And she sits there and eats them right in front of me. Yeah. No, I got to bring my own cauliflower all the time. Yeah, yummy. Oh, praise God. But also, I want you to think about the players and all their hard work. Many of them start practicing months before the season starts. They begin by getting their bodies in shape. They run. They lift weights. They build their muscles. And they build their stamina. They go to camp. And they proceed to put on those big, hot uniforms with all the pads, and then slide that helmet on. I'm telling you, them helmets are hot. You ever watch them on the sideline when on a cool game, they take it off? Like a steam bath going off there. Those helmets are hot. They're doing this in the summertime, in July. And then they go out on the field and they practice. And they practice till they can hardly stand. But you know what? They always seem to be able to stand a little longer. Their dedication drives them to work hard to reach the Super Bowl game at the end of the season. The Christian life is a lot like working towards that Super Bowl. We attend church services. We're supposed to what? Not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Study the Word. Meditate day and night. And we are to practice the Word. Practice the Word. And you're standing on a Word and you're practicing, you'll be able to stand some more. We can serve the Lord in many ways in our church here. Simply by volunteering our time. Yeah, our time and our talents. Because God can redeem your time. You'll be able to accomplish a lot more things. It's like Bob just mentioned, we have different outreach ministries, but the outreach ministries. You get involved. Children's church. We need teachers. We need fill-in teachers if you can't be steady. The youth and the children's activities. We have many. We have many that you can volunteer for to get involved in. I don't know if I'm good at any. Have you ever tried one?
Come on, there you go, Pastor. Come on.
You do it with the right heart motive. I'm telling you, God will just bless you. God will just bless you. Because you will make an impact upon the youth, upon those children, and upon the parents and grandparents who bring those kids. Don't take what you're called to do lightly. So you can serve the Lord by doing, are you ready for this? Hospital and nursing home visits. Give us a call. Hey, anybody in the hospital that we should, can we go visit? I'm going to be over here at the medical center. I'm going to be at Swickley Valley. I'm going to Allegheny General. Give us a call. Or even home visits. Yeah, there's a big one. Home visits. To someone who's in recovery from an illness or surgery. Cook them a meal. Yeah. You can serve the Lord. You can be part of our intercessory prayer group on Thursday mornings. We need prayer warriors. Prayer changes things. Trace, Jan came in on Thursday morning, and there was a young lady who had gone into labor. The water broke, and the baby was going to be premature. And family had some concerns, and got a hold of Jan. Jan said, okay, so we came, we prayed. We prayed that everything would go great. The baby would be, you know, would be born because they were trying to hold back as long as they could. But the fluid was gone.
Right.
And I will gladly tell you that we have a healthy little baby in the world. Healthy. No problems, no complications. Am I right, Teresa? Thank you. Was when she texted us back to let us know the outcome of that. That was awesome. It had nothing to do with us, but it had to do with the prayers and what God could do when you pray and you believe. Prayer changes things. Everything that couple was told completely turned around. God can change things. He hears us. Don't ever think that he doesn't hear you. He hears us. But there are so many ways we can work together for the Lord to make the team here at ACA become a great success for Him. Because it's all about Him. That's what we got to keep remembering. It's about Him. He did everything for us when He laid down His life. And now He lets us get in on the action by serving Him. Serving Him during this lifetime. Everyone can do something to keep the ball moving forward so that we can achieve first and tens. And then what? We get a new set of downs because the devil's going to be out there and he's going to try to keep you from achieving a first and ten. But we got to work together to get that first and ten. We've accomplished that. Now we've got a new set of downs. And guess what? He's coming right back at you. He doesn't quit. He doesn't quit. A loyal player is going to work hard not to be seen. Those linemen, you don't ever hear them talked about. You always hear about the running back. Somebody's got to knock those other players out of the way. But they do it for the success of the team. It doesn't matter if anyone seems to notice their sacrifice for the Lord. Whether anyone praises us or not, Jesus sees it all. And He will surely bless you. So we're not serving man. No. We serve an awesome God. That's who we serve. Don't switch it around. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. We're going to reap the benefits of God if we don't give up. As I like to say, keep on keeping on. Okay, fourthly, remain faithful to your team. In Proverbs 20, verse 6, it says, who can find a faithful man? Proverbs 28:20 says, a faithful man will abound with blessings. It pays to be faithful. A real fan will stick with their team even during the losing seasons. A true fan is loyal in the good times and the bad. You know, I've been a Pirates fan all my life. I attended Forbes Field. I sat in right field. I watched the great Roberto Clemente play. I used to remember that. He used to catch it, just run out there and go like that, catch that ball. I always used to try to beat him because I played right field. You know how many times I went like that and went, poof, oh man. Then you have to pick it up and try to throw it in there. When there's another little kid, he's already rounding it into second base. But he was great. But I remember the winning years. I remember the 1960 World Series, 1971 World Series, and 1979 World Series. See, we've been in a little bit of a drought. We've had some highlighted moments lately. But you know what? I supported them. I was still rooting for them. Now, when they would make some different bad calls, I won't say coaching, I said, well, we know that pitcher's good for four innings. Why are you letting him pitch the fifth inning? And then the game goes down the tubes. And that's when I got to get up, shut it off, walk out, drink a cup of water. Okay, and then I got to go back in and turn it on because I am a supporter. But I needed a break from that. Come on. Sometimes it's very evident. You know, you don't have to be the coach. But it's cool to be the Monday morning quarterback, though, isn't it? You got to like that. Because we'll be talking about the Super Bowl the day after. But I can say one thing for the Pittsburgh fans. I don't think I can speak for all of us here. That we're going to support our teams no matter what. And you know what? Pittsburgh fans are awful vocal. How about if I just leave it at that? We are faithful. Don't disrespect the towels. I said towels because each one of our teams has one. Remember what happened to Tennessee Titans the year they stepped and squished that towel into the ground? Whew, next year, they didn't win a game. You watch when you come against a Pittsburgh Steelers fan or a Browns fan. Win, lose, sink, or swim, a true fan is going to stay with their team. You know, when the devil attempts you to turn away from God and go back to that old lifestyle, those old habits, those old friend, let's remember, he's already been defeated. Don't listen to him. His days are limited on the game field. Jesus is the winner. You see, I went and I read the last chapter of the last book here, and I can tell you, Jesus is the winner. And if you're got Jesus in your heart, you are a winner. Yes, sir. You are not a loser. Yes, sir. So when you're down and you're discouraged and nothing's going right, just go ahead and praise his name. Raise a hallelujah. Yes, sir. It'll make you feel so much better. Yes, sir. It will, because it'll get your focus off of those things and onto him. And that will give you great comfort, because he's there with you. He's not going to leave you. In Psalm 30, verse 4, it says, sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name. This world is not home. We're just passing through. Smile and wave, baby. You're going to a better place when that's all over and done with. But until then, he's got work for you to do. For him. You know, it's a sad fact that many of the Super Bowl winners are not going to be repeat winners the next year, are they? There's a few. Very few. Out of the 32 teams. One reason is that many of those players, once they win the Super Bowl, they start looking for greener pastures. Somewhere else to go. And the same occurs with the Christian. We get a few victories in our life, and all of a sudden, we start looking elsewhere. We get a little cocky. When we really should be just keeping our eyes on the captain, Captain Jesus. Friends, even family, people, because peoples will be peoples. They may abandon you, but Jesus never will. He never will. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, right? Hebrews 13, 5. For God himself has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold on you. Most assuredly not. When you are tempted to switch teams and abandon the Lord, remember, verse 6. So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, let's all say these together. It's a loud one. The Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear. Or dread. Or be terrified. What can man do to me? Nothing. I like what verse 8 says. Jesus Christ is always, always the same. yesterday, today, and forever. All right, fifthly, because Kyle keeps giving me waving signs. Display a passion for your team. A real player or a loyal fan is going to get excited about their team. The word fan is a shortened word for fanatic. A fanatic is someone who is marked by excessive enthusiasm and often intense, uncritical devotion. Someone once said, "I may be a nut, but I am screwed onto the right bolt." That's what people thought of me when I got saved. I'm a nut. Well, you know what? I may be a nut, but I know I'm screwed on to the right bolt. And I ain't cross-threaded either. I've seen some of the quietest people, though, in the world get excited about a game, about a ball game. And they holler and they shout at their team and at the referees or the umpires. You know, I thought sometimes when I hear that, you know, where did that person come from? Well, they're just being passionate and they're excited about their team. Fans at the game tonight will have their team jerseys on. They will have paint on their faces. Their hair will be all greased up. I'll never do that. And they will do the craziest things to show off how passionate they are about their team. They can't wait for the TV camera to get on them either. Fans will get to the game early. And they're going to stand in line for hours. And they never complain if the game goes into overtime. I said a true fan. A true fan doesn't leave early, even if it looks hopeless. With 30 seconds left to go and your team is losing, you stay and you witness one of the most famous plays in history in the American Football League, the Immaculate Reception, December 23rd, 1972. That was 48 years ago, folks, and it's still talked about today. 48 years later, fans and players who are passionate about their team can do some exciting things, though. And if they can be excited and passionate about their football team, surely we can be excited about our great God and our captain, the captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. A true fan does not care what others think about him or her. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed about letting people know how much you love the Lord. And how are you to love the Lord? With your whole heart. With all of your heart. All of you. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, it says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might." Solomon is saying, be passionate about whatever you are going to do for the Lord. Whatever you are going to do in the church, do the best job that you can. If you're teaching in children's church, prepare the best that you can. Put everything you have into it. Give God your best, not your leftovers. He gave you His best in His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, some people shout, others cry. Some are loud, others are soft-spoken. But I believe we can be excited about what the Lord has done for us. He died on the cross. They took Him down, and they placed His body in the grave. Satan thought it was over. All the demons of hell were rejoicing. Death thought it had defeated the giver of life. Even the disciples, they thought they were finished. They went back to their old lifestyle and they started fishing again. All of a sudden, though, on the first resurrection Sunday after 3 days, all the demons in hell who had piled on, all of a sudden got thrown off. Even Satan himself couldn't hold Captain King Jesus. Couldn't hold him down. He arose victoriously. Scoring the touchdown. Revelations chapter 1, verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Then verse 18, I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I'm alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. In a few hours from now, two teams are going to square off in Miami, Florida. And they're going to play the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 54. The coveted Lombardi Trophy will be handed out. MVP of the game will be awarded and named. Glory will be given, as well as bragging rights of being the best football team in the world for another year. I don't know who's going to win, but I believe the team who wins will have played as a team, both offensively and defensively, playing with passion to the very end. Believers can win at the Super Bowl of life as a team. We have the offense and defensive plan of God's Word. We must study it, then execute it with a passion. Tell everybody whose team you're on, display a strong support for your team. Work hard for the success of your team. Remain faithful to your team and display a passion for your team because He had a passion for you when He carried the cross. God bless.